Lecture topic, Reward for Good Akhlaq.
Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salatu wa salamu ala ibadihi alladhin istafa. Amma ba'du fa'audhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Al-Hajju ashhurun ma'lumat. Sadaqallahu al-Azim. Most respected students of Deen, mothers and sisters. We are currently hearing about the Hujjaj, those who have gone, those who are going. And as we get closer to the Mubarak days of Hajj, then our hearts also get attached in that direction. Now we may think, but this is not something we are going to be part of. So it's somebody else's good fortune. And indeed it is their good fortune. But Allah Ta'ala's grace and mercy is such that Allah Ta'ala has left the door open for even those who cannot make it for Hajj to still gain the reward of Hajj. Now there are two separate issues here. This is often confused. So you should understand correctly what this refers to. In the Hadith Sharif, for example, it is mentioned that Surah Ikhlas, Qul Huwallahu Ahad, is equivalent to one third of the Quran Sharif. So this is an authentic Hadith Sharif. In Bukhari Sharif, this Hadith appears. Surah Ikhlas is Thuluthul Quran, one third of the Quran Sharif. So one third of the Quran Sharif, there's various explanations of this. One explanation is one third, meaning in reward. The reward of recitation of one third of the Quran Sharif, Surah Ikhlas itself earns that reward. So somebody then thinks, well, okay, all I need to do is recite three times Surah Ikhlas and I'm done. And then every day I'll make one khatam like this. I don't need to make any other tilawat. So that is a very big misconception. One is the asli thawab, the actual original reward. And the other is what is known as the fadli thawab, the additional reward that comes on various other related things. So the asli reward, the original reward, one third of the Quran Sharif, so the ikhlas is equivalent to that. But then the additional rewards, for example, the person who recited one letter, what rewards they will get over and above that original reward. Then the time that was taken to recite it, the effort that was made in reciting it, the concentration with which a person kept his heart occupied in that period of time in Quran Sharif. So now somebody read Surah Ikhlas three times, in 1 minute they were done, and somebody now was concentrating and reciting Quran Sharif for 1 hour. So that 1 hour's impact on the heart, that 1 minute obviously can't compare to the 1 hour. So now all this put together, the reward of the effort, the reward of the time, the impact on the heart, these two will be now worlds apart. So indeed, the recitation of Surah Ikhlas is very great in itself, that it earned one third of the Quran Sharif reward, but the person who made the effort and recited for 1 hour made tilawat of the Quran Sharif, that person is obviously far way ahead. So likewise, there are certain a'mal that have been mentioned, that the person who fulfills this gets the reward of a Hajj. But it doesn't mean that the person who actually undertook the Hajj and this person are both equal. No, they are worlds apart. This person got the reward of Hajj, mashallah, the reward of the amal of Hajj itself on its basic level. But the person who actually went for Hajj, so the money that was spent in the process, that reward is obviously only based on that spending. The time that was spent is only available on spending that time. The effort that was made and the mujahada that was undertaken, all the various things that go along with it, that only comes upon actually doing those particular things, spending that money, making that effort, every step taken, etc., etc. So it's actually worlds apart. So while this is worlds apart, it doesn't mean that we should regard this as minor. This two in itself is very great. One person got 10,000 rands and the other person got 1 million. So that 10,000 compared to 1 million is like nothing. That 10,000 compared to 1 million is a drop, is 1%. But in itself, 10,000 is 10,000. Many, many people don't earn that 10,000 for the whole month. Maybe over 2 months they might not earn it sometimes, depending on the person doing some very unskilled work, etc. So in itself, it's still 10,000, though compared to the 1 million is 1% only. So we shouldn't regard it as trivial, shouldn't regard it as insignificant, because in itself it's still very great. And we should therefore do our best to try and gain these rewards through these amal. So any case today, we will just discuss one or two aspects in this regard of how easily we too can take the reward of Hajj, of Umrah, etc. In one Hadith Sharif it is mentioned, Anas radiallahu anhu says that one person came to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he requested and he said, Inni ashtahi al jihada wala aqdiru alayhi. That I want to go out in jihad, but I am unable to. Whatever his difficulty might have been, maybe he didn't have any financial means, any provisions, or maybe he was not well, he was ill, whatever might have been the reason. So he said, I want to do this. The heart is yearning to do it. So it's not that the person is being lazy, the person is trying to shirk, is trying to stay out of it. No, he's yearning to do it. But unfortunately, there is a problem now that he can't overcome. So as a result, he's unable to do it. So now, he was basically expressing his grief at the loss that he's going to now suffer, so to say, that he's going to be deprived of that reward of jihad, because he's not going to be able to make it. So now when he is unable to go, he's deprived, others are going to get the reward. So he is going to be behind. Now this was the competition the Sahaba used to have in a positive manner. Not the competition that I want to be one up, or the competition that I want to put somebody else down. No, others also, mashallah, they too must succeed, but I'm going to try to beat them in getting closer to Allah Ta'ala. So they must also get close, everybody must get close, but somebody's going to get closer, somebody's going to be first. I want to get first to Allah Ta'ala. That was the competition. So now, this used to grieve them that they are unable to do some amal, that they are falling behind. So when this sahabi came and he mentioned this to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that I want to also go out in jihad, but I am unable to. So the question Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then asked him, Hal baqiya min walidayka ahadun? Any of your parents are alive? So he said, yes, my mother is alive. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said to him that you, the mafhum, this is now the crux of it, you go out of your way in pleasing her, you show her how you are, you show Allah Ta'ala how you are going out of your way in serving her. In other words, you do it for ikhlas, with ikhlas, for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, you're showing Allah Ta'ala. So show Allah Ta'ala how you are going out of your way to serve her, because if you do this, then فَأَنْتَ حَاجٍ وَمُعْتَمِرٌ وَمُجَاهِدٌ. Then you are going to receive the reward of a haji, of a mu'tamir, a person who's gone for umrah, and a mujahid. All three in one. Now, this door, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving us that, look, this door is open. Now, this is the lesson we have to take, especially the time that we live, the way things are going, the modernistic ideas that are creeping in, the modernistic lifestyle, and it's a very ajeeb life out there. It sounds very glittering, but there are so many cases that where people have now gone down this life of Westernism. So part of that lifestyle is, nobody must be a sort of an obstacle in the path of your entertainment. So now the weekend has come, your weekday nights, evenings, you want to now be relaxed, you want to be loafing around, you got some of your sports to do and all kinds of other things in the weekends and so on. If you're going to have any of your parents living with you, you're making the khidmat, you're serving them, then this is going to become a hindrance, it's going to become an obstacle. So now, get the obstacle out of the way. So what to do now? Where are you going to get the obstacle to? So the old age home. In some nice words that are given for it. Out of necessity, some people have to cater for it, because others don't want to do what is their responsibility. As a result, some elderly people get abandoned very, very sadly. Some are in a very desperate situation. So some organizations have to now take up this responsibility of creating the facilities, of making available such facilities, so that these elderly people are not left to themselves, nobody to care for them, and very difficult for them to be able to get going with daily things. So any case, the thing is that because of this Western lifestyle, this has become part of the way things are happening. People abandon their parents. And then on a lesser level, how parents are treated. How many times parents complain, my child just keeps back answering everything that I say, doesn't listen to anything, trying to advise the child, don't do this, do that, but the child is forever got some other answer, or just completely ignores, and just in order to keep the peace in the home, then parents have to just keep quiet sometimes. Because if they say something, then there'll be a huge tantrum, there'll be some problem, and the whole peace of the house will be shattered. So now just to maintain the peace, they have to just go with the flow, as they say. They have to just now, just keep quiet about it, and just hope now that this fellow something, he'll get the message somewhere else, and he will stop conducting himself in this manner. So now that's the hope they live on. But in the meantime, they're suffering. And this is one of the major sins. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked the Sahaba once, should I tell you about what are the akbarul kabair, the most severe sins, the biggest sins? So the first thing Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, which is the worst thing ever to happen on earth, ashirku billah. Number one, worst sin ever, ashirku billah, committing shirk and ascribing partners with Allah Ta'ala. And then number two, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, uququl walidain, disobedience to parents, because this cuts their heart. So now this becomes very painful and hurtful. So a person now is conducting himself in such a way, parents are asking something legitimate, please don't do this, put your phone away, pay attention, it's eating time now, so now put all the other things aside and eat. Even some simple thing like this, that the parent is telling the child, this is not the time for the phone, just keep the phone aside for now. Whereas, the parent has the authority that you are still under my roof, you are still under our authority, so to say. And me telling you, you must not even have a smartphone, you're supposed to obey that. Here the parent is not even talking about not having the phone, because they understand that that's now the addiction that has come. Is that now if we tell this fellow to stop having the phone, that will become such a problem. So all he's saying is, please now it's eating time, everybody is now busy eating, put the phone away, it becomes a problem. He's got something to say about that too, she's got something to say about it. This is now gone late now, so please put that phone away, that becomes a problem. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. What a severe matter, how damaging this is, and what a terrible situation. The thing is that, on the one side, this is such a major sin, as we understood from this Hadith Sharif. Top of the list of the major sins, Ishraku Billah, committing shirk, ascribing partners with Allah Ta'ala. Next, in line, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions about that the disobedience of parents. So now we need to check within ourselves. And then on the other side, this Hadith Sharif, that a person who goes out of his way to make his parents happy, make them comfortable, obviously all within the limits of Shariat, not crossing the line of Shariat in any way. Otherwise, that is not allowed. That now, even if parents are asking for it too, in a gentle manner and with respect, we will refrain. We will not get involved in it. We cannot get involved in it because then it is pleasing Allah Ta'ala. But in a gentle manner and with respect, this should never be forgotten. In a gentle manner and with respect, then we will still stay firm on what the correct position is and ask Allah Ta'ala's help, but we won't cross that line. So in any case, this is one very great amal. Now the opposite side, this one was the negative part of the disobedience to parents, but now this positive side, that the person is going out of his way, what is the reward? Reward of Hajj, of Umrah, and of Jihad. All three in one. All three in one, this is the reward. It's mind-boggling. Really is mind-boggling. If somebody has to, just a short while ago, meaning about maybe less than half an hour ago, so somebody now was complaining about a problem with some other person, that person is cheating him badly, whatever, meaning verbally sometimes say things, make comments against him, and disturbs him in that way. So, it was very disturbing for him. He was unable to now concentrate on his, meaning he can't seem to come to terms with it, but why is this person talking to me like this? Why is he making these kind of comments? He says, okay. So he wants to know now what to do now. So I said, well, when you pass him, now step one, you make salam very nicely, cheerfully. Found that very, very difficult. How do I go and do this now? He's causing me so much of taklif. So then the same question, which many times we've discussed this, I asked him, okay, somebody offers you 10,000 rands, because one of the things that came up was, that. But then when he's going to learn? When is he going to learn to do the right thing? If I go and just now make up and I just say maaf and I just greet nicely, so he will carry on like this. I say, okay, somebody offers you 10,000 rands, but you go nicely and meet with him and say maaf. So will you do it? So after a pause and keeping quiet for a while and then when nudged, then yeah, I'll do it. So why you'll do it? Why that time you won't say, but if I take this money now and I go and talk to him, when will he learn? But he needs to learn. But now you'll think that time, that if he needs to learn, why must I pay the 10,000 rand price tag? Let me get the money now. He'll learn whenever he needs to learn. And if he don't learn, that his problem. Then that's how we'll think about it, because now the price tag of 10,000 is too heavy for us to pay by losing out on it. We rather take the 10,000 and go and just make salam nicely. So for dunya, we're ready to do all these things. So now one is any other person, stranger, but now for our parents, then we should have the heart to overlook a lot of things if they have crossed the line somewhere. But we don't cross the line of respect. We don't cross the line of maintaining that peace, that honor, that respect, that dignity. Otherwise, we are going to be the losers. So one is this very great amal of treating our parents very well, going out of our way to treat them well. So now one is going out of the way in so many different ways. The least is, the very least, we always talk with respect. Don't ever back answer. Don't ever back chat your parents. Talk with respect. Then conduct yourself with respect. Obviously, there's the home environment is meant to be a very calm, very happy, very easy environment to be in. It's not a place to have tension. It's not a place to be on edge. These things happen in any home, but it's something to fizzle out very quickly. But the overall atmosphere, the overall situation in a home should be one of calm, one of happiness, one of good feeling, not something that is that keeping everybody on edge. So now, what can we do to contribute towards that goodness? Always be looking at what somebody else is doing that is contributing towards the negative side of things. That person does this, this person does that, and as a result, all this is going haywire. As a result, the peace of the home is shattered. But how much are we doing to contribute towards the peace of the home, towards the happiness of the home? So to start off with our parents, this is the bare minimum. We talk positively, we talk respectfully. Yes, it's a casual atmosphere. So we, depending on what we're saying, how we're saying it, there'll be an easy-going communication, easy-going conversation. But we don't cross the line of respect, and we don't do anything that's going to cause more tension. So we make sabr, we'll swallow sometimes some things that are not in order, but we won't cross the line. That is the bottom, that is the most important thing. So what will be rewarded with? What we just heard just now. The reward of Hajj and Umrah and Jihad. Now, this is the bare minimum. This is the very, very, very basic level, the bare minimum. We talk properly, we listen, and we are told, okay, do this, do that, which are easy things. There's no, it's just a matter of our nafs, our ego sometimes. Our parents are telling us something, we take it, we try to implement it. If it's something wrong, we will respectfully refrain. But in this way, we will earn tremendous rewards, and subhanallah, to what level and height it can take us. So now, who will undertake this with this intention? Who will regard this as a very great opportunity? That person who understands what is our purpose in life. If somebody's purpose in life is that I should be one up all the time, they'll never do it. Impossible. If somebody's purpose in life is that pride, that I'm a show, I'm somebody, then that pride will become a barrier. They'll never do it. Cannot do it. If somebody's purpose is just dunya and the entertainment of dunya, that is the object of life. They can't do it. But the person whose object is, I must get close to Allah Ta'ala, Allah must become pleased with me, I must earn the akhirat, the reward of Jannat. So now the person who thinks in that manner, the person who has that as their purpose, then they are able to easily undertake such things. Then it doesn't become difficult for them at all. They can easily undertake it. So this is what we have to now check with. What is our intention? Where is our focus? How much of ikhlas there is in it? How much our focus is towards earning the akhirat? We want to get close to Allah Ta'ala. We have no guarantee of life that whether we are around tomorrow or not. So we want to amass as much as we can for our hereafter. Then they'll find it very easy to practice on these things. That this is subhanallah, such a great reward, I can't lose out. I want to achieve this. So, inshallah, in this way, we will please them, we will earn their du'as, because they will be seeing a different person now. They'll be seeing somebody who is now conducting himself in a very positive manner, or conducting herself in a very positive way. So even if for whatever reason, sometimes parents are a little bit maybe hard on certain things, but when you will make the positive changes, inshallah, it will earn their du'as, their good feelings towards you, and the entire approach that may be sometimes a bit difficult for you, that will change as well. The approach from their side will change. It will change for the better, and it has happened in many instances. But the starting point is not what they will start doing first. This is a common story. So now that is, we'll be able to figure out who should do something first if you figure out what came first, the hen or the egg. The egg came first and then the hen. Now, when this debate will finish off, won't ever finish off. Because the hen, so that chick comes out of an egg, so outwardly, the hen was first, or that egg was first, because the chick came out of the egg. If there was no egg, then there's no chicken that will come out of it. But then where did the egg come from? The egg came from the hen, so the chicken was there first, then the egg came. So now when this debate will finish, we can't finish it. So now, just as this debate won't finish, likewise many other debates won't finish off. We don't get into that. That now we're waiting first for them to do something. No, we do what is in our capacity first. We are the children. We do the good things first. We make the positive changes first. We humble ourselves first. We're humbling ourselves in front of our parents. And the Quran Sharif commands us to do this. وَخْفِدْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ. Humble yourself fully in the, before them out of that mercy and compassion. So we don't wait for somebody else to make the first move in giving us the good treatment first, then we'll decide what we do. No, despite what's going on, we will take the step to give the good treatment. And that never goes in vain. That good treatment, that is part of good akhlaq. And good akhlaq attracts the special mercy of Allah Ta'ala. The special barakat in everything. So if a person wants that barakat, they want all those good things and favors of Allah Ta'ala, they want that forgiveness, the elevation in akhirat, etc. So the person who is desirous of this, they won't wait for somebody else to first do some good or change the approach or whatever. They'll do it. So now we need to check in our hearts what we want. Obviously we all want to get close to Allah Ta'ala. We all want the rewards of akhirat. We all want to do what is going to bring us the reward and thawab. So then, this is the route. This is how we are supposed to go ahead. So Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq that this amal, mashallah, it's such a major amal. And we unfortunately just lose out on this because of how we conduct ourselves, what we say, how we say it. Inshallah, Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq that we change this entire approach. And in this way, inshallah, we'll earn the tremendous rewards of akhirat. And even in dunya, the barakat will come in torrents, inshallah, al-Aziz. Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم افتح لنا بالخير واختم لنا بالخير واجعل عواقب أمورنا بالخير بيدك الخير إنك على كل شيء قدير اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين والحمد لله.